Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to Osborne. Well, I got you now. Oh, wow. Where do we even go from here? Verse that I don't even have the reference, but I'm sure Gary could tell me because he's the one that encouraged me a few weeks ago. You will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. I know it's in Isaiah, in the 40s somewhere.
Okay.
Isaiah, okay, cool. Isaiah 26:3. And I'm just so thankful to God that during this process for today, as I was prepared to speak, that He's done that, because my mind's been kind of all over the place. Like, God, what do you want to talk about? Like, I had this whole story, and then I'm trying to present slides, so I don't have any slides. You know, like I guess I'm not supposed to do what I did last time, because that was good and that's had its thing. But today is something else, and I want to share that I feel like I'm in perfect peace. Like last time, I felt so anxious. I shared with you guys. I was very anxious about, that's a weird thing, I'm anxious about preaching, but I was nervous. But today, I stand in perfect peace. So I'm thankful to God for that. So when I was in Mexico, We would do devotions in the morning, and I got this vision like the last day. Like, we were in a prayer time, my eyes were closed, and I just saw this tree with a glowing trunk. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because usually, for me, when my eyes are closed, everything's black, but I still kind of know what's going on. I don't know how to explain that, but I saw a bright light coming from this trunk of this tree, and right away I knew that was the tree of life. And I'm like, okay, well, tree of life is out there. This morning, when we were in prayer, I think God completed the rest of the vision, because I started seeing, like, standing at a river's edge, like the shore of a river where you see the water, it starts to go, you know, and a river, or a bay if you're in the ocean, but a river, you're not seeing waves. It's just like, you know, really like gentle, and comes up all nice, and it's so peaceful and serene. You could just kind of go there right now, just at the woods, you know, some guys fly fishing over there. But that sounds like peaceful to me right now. but yeah, you know, just so that at that place, like, so I got a location. I got the tree, and the tree of life we talked about, Pastor talked about in Ezekiel 47. It's also in Revelations 22. It talks about the tree of life straddles both sides of the river of God, which comes from the temple. And so, okay, now I have the tree of life straddling, which provides the fruit all year round, fruit in due season, and it's on both sides of the river of God. That's kind of weird how that would be, but it's one tree on both sides of the river of God coming from the temple. And just the waters like coming up, like we're standing at the shore, like looking out. We're just standing at the shore looking out. It kind of comes in and out. And then something else weird, it didn't seem like a fit, but you know, there's the eye of Ra, like if you know Egyptian symbols, like it's that weird little curly eye thing. And I saw that with a tear coming out. I was like, oh, that's interesting. It was a tear. And then kind of the interpretation that came was, that the tree of life shining was the lighthouse. It's like God saying, get in here. It straddles the river, so it's not like it's on the side of the river. It's over the river of God and is calling us to get in here. And it's like we can, if we go after the, I don't know, like the eye of Ra, I guess that was like the, you know, man's best efforts, you know, man's wisdom. It was like the knowledge of the world. It's going to end in a tear. It's going to end in tears. But if you follow God, you know, in heaven there's no tears, you know. So he's drawing us into the river of God. And if you read Ezekiel, and I wasn't even planning to talk about this, so, you know. Ezekiel, it talks about, like Pastor mentioned, that he was taken there, and he was taken ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then he was just head over heels. And, you know, that's where I feel God's been challenging me. To me personally, I need to be head over heels just in the river of God. And consequently, that's where I feel like we're supposed to be at Osborne. We're supposed to be head over heels in the things of God, that we have no choice but to grasp onto Him. You know, we can, if I'm knee deep, if I'm ankle deep, I'm in control. If I'm at the shore, I'm in control, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to go in there. If I'm ankle deep, I still have full control. Like if a wave did come, I could run out of the water. Because, you know, if you go to the beach and you haven't gotten the water yet, it's cold, and you're like, oh, I don't want to get wet. You know, you see that wave come and you run. You know, I'm still in control. Even if I'm knee deep, if something of some weird shark or something's in the water, I could run out. But waist deep is a lot more challenging, and just fully submerged, it's God. It's about God. He's in control. He's in control. So what has changed over the years? You know, at Osborne, we've always pursued the supernatural. We believe it. We pursue it. You know, there's people here that stand for it. And the one thing we've always been known as is a church of love. And one of the biggest attacks of the enemy is on the spiritual gifts. The biggest attack, the thing that he knows that if we thrive in, he has no chance. That's the biggest attack. The split over the churches is over the spiritual gifts. It's over the operation of the Holy Spirit today. I guess we can... I want to read some of... This is not really what I planned to talk about. But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I actually want to read some of that. And call out a couple verses. And I'm going to start at verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, excuse me, I don't want you to be unaware. I know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? That's the opener to the spiritual gifts. You have to say Jesus is Lord, and no one saying Jesus is Lord is saying it except by the Holy Spirit. Number 4. So underline that or write it down or take a note, mental note, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now we continue. Verse 4. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. Number 7. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. That's God's word. So if you didn't hear that, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the common good. So I have a gift for the church. You guys all have gifts for the church. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. And one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. So, the Holy Spirit gives as the Holy Spirit wills. But if you look at verse 7, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the common good. So, you should have something. There's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do through you for the church. And we can get wrapped up. We can say, yeah, we want to go after the things of God. We want to give words of wisdom, words of knowledge. We want to see the workings of miracles. And that's not unbiblical. Jesus said if we don't even see them, we wouldn't believe. You know, so these things are not a wrong desire, but they have to come second to the pursuit of God. And so that's when I love Osborne as a church that people say God's love is here. And Osborne is a church that God's love is here. I would probably say anybody who's sitting here knows that, and that's why you're here. Like every single person. Because Osborne is a place where God's love is. So back to verse 12. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts of the body just as He wanted. God has arranged you all right here, right now, as He wants. And He has things for you. And they're called spiritual gifts, which means they need to be opened. There's a two-part thing here. God gives, but we have to open. And one of the things that I've just, over the years, okay, I feel like God's speaking to me. It's like, okay, is that really you, God? But unless I actually tried to step out and give the word, I would have never known. Right. And thank you, Dave. You said something. That was perfect. That was perfect. You know, I might put my foot in my mouth, but hopefully I will receive your correction. You know, I definitely want to be bold, and we should all be bold with what we feel the Lord is speaking, but we also have to be open to correction. And I can't just do this if, in my own wisdom, if I'm just pursuing the Lord. You know, it has to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It has to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Okay, where did we leave off? 22. On contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect. I think that's so cool. And somebody brought the Langs. Jake brought the Langs as our missionary focus, right? Jan Lang is like one of the most powerful women of God. You know, they used to sit in a hotel room because she's in a wheelchair. She would sit in a hotel room while Ross was in the men's retreat, and she would just sit there all day praying. And the funniest story, you might have heard this before, but one day we were over in Ventura, and the toilet got clogged in the room she was in, because we would go there to the bathroom. The maintenance guy comes down, she talks to him, and next thing you know, he's giving his life to the Lord. Like, what the heck? Okay. So instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, if you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has appointed those in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next, miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. And we're just going to keep going here. If I speak in human or angelic tongues, but I do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. So if God is not our number one pursuit and understanding His love and loving others, we are nothing. We're worthless. We're just noisy. You know, like, we're just noise. And if I give all my possessions and give my body over to, in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, it is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and does not keep a record of wrongs. And we get caught up. I can get hard to just get past the first one of those. But love is those things, and we need to grow in those things. We need to grow in our patience. We need to grow in our kindness. We need to grow in not envying. We need to grow in not boasting and not being arrogant, not being rude, not being self-seeking, not being irritable. There's one. I can be irritable. And love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end, and for tongues they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Amen. I'm so thankful for 1 Corinthians 13:9. If you have a word, it's okay if you don't have everything, because we know in part and we prophesy in part. It's right there. But when the perfect comes, that's what partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. And these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So, our number one pursuit has to be love. And I'm not talking about the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, you guys know what it is, right? That we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And the second is just like it, that we have to love our neighbors as ourselves. So there's three people right there: God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Before all that is where the pursuit is. We can't love God unless we first receive His love. We cannot love God unless we have first received God's love. Our pursuit has to be in the worship, in the praise, in the prayer, in the presence of God, that we receive, in the presence of God is fullness of joy, that we receive fullness of joy. How can we, are we going to minister to God with, hey, praise the Lord? No, we're going to minister to the Lord with fullness of joy, with fullness of joy. We want to minister to a brother or sister or somebody we see out there on the street with fullness of joy. Otherwise, why would they want what we have? Why would they want that? So, the pursuit, and God's been waking me up, it's the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. You know, I'm my beloved and He is mine. You know, that we're the bride of Christ. Like, God is preparing a bride, and there's stories about the brides that were invited to a wedding, and they were waiting, and then they didn't bring enough oil. Like, they weren't prepared. And so when they went to get the oil and come back, the door was closed, and they were too late. And that was a bad day for them. That was a bad day. So, you know, I want to pursue good days with God. And God's been teaching me how to pursue Him just for Him. You know, I've known, like, when Pastor Ryan came up to me, he's like, yeah, it's going to be some supernatural. Like, that bore witness with me at the time. But that was like 3 years ago. I couldn't have done that until I started pursuing God for just God. Like, the love of God has to be my number one pursuit. Otherwise, if I'm walking in the spiritual gifts, if I'm working miracles, if I'm laying hands and people recover, but I don't have a relationship with God, great for them, bad for me. Because the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. I know what He's called me to do. And we all need to understand what God has called us to be. If you heard me read those spiritual gifts and you're not sure, then you need to seek the Lord. Because my journey was one like this. And Lynn, thank you for reminding me. Like, people would tell me things, like, a long time ago, that I was going to do something special. Like, I was going to do something great. I'm like, okay. But I would get words, and they started shaping. So I didn't just feel like, okay, I'm going to be a pastor one day in, you know, 20 years. But as I started thinking about the things of God, I started thinking about my position, my place, and where God would use me. I'm like, I think I should be a pastor. Okay. but that's too big, God, so I'm going to put that on my shelf of God things that I'm not ready to walk in yet. Along with prophecy and working of miracles and speaking in tongues and healing and all those things, all those great, awesome things, I'm just going to put them on the shelf. Because, yes, okay, it's God's word. It's not my word. It's not my doctrine. I just read straight scripture. Okay, this is God's word. But I didn't understand. I wasn't pursuing. But in these last couple years, God has been teaching me to pursue him. Just to love him because he's worthy. Just to pursue him because he's worthy, because he's good, because he's given me so many blessings, because he's saved me from a young age. You know, I'm so glad to have my godmother here in the back, Janae. I'm so glad I have my mom here, and I'm so glad so many people that are sitting here have had influence on my life through various stages of my life. And I would not be who I am today without you guys. So I thank you. Even new people. So thank you guys. But it's not like the thing. When I used to think about this, like, okay, I'm going to be a pastor. Okay, yes, I'm a pastor now. No, that's not what it is. That's not what it is. But it's a privilege to step into that. And I've known it for a long time. I'll tell you, one of the one of the times that God really got my attention was during his church service Sunday. It was like, I think after service or the prayer time. And Miss Sandy, she's like, hey, come over here. I'm like, oh, yes, ma'am. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing? This had to be about 4 years ago. I don't know if you remember, but she's like, I was like, yeah. I was like, no. I don't think I said anything because I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but, you know, here I am. And she's like, you're supposed to be a pastor. And when she said that, after all those words, after all those thoughts I had, I became like my strength left me. Like, I'm not doing what God's called me to do. Like, it was really strong when she said that. And she's like, there's two things, and that was one of them. And, you know, about a year or so later, is the Pastor Ryan, the story you mentioned, you know, when you came out. And so God's been like, God was bringing me along, and I started to look at the shelf of things, of God things that I wasn't ready to walk in. I'm like, okay, what is this pastor thing? Hey, they got this little wood block, says pastor on it. You know, we had those block things. And so, you know, I knew it was just timing. I'm like, all right, well, I know I'm just going to keep walking in what I know you're calling me to, Lord. And so part of that is Wednesday nights. So if I get a shameless plug, and it's not me plugging me anyway, so it's me plugging the Holy Spirit. Because if you have plans on Wednesday nights, you should cancel them unless it's like life or death. You need to be here on Wednesday nights. And I can say that because we've seen breakthroughs. We've seen healings. I can say we've seen healings on Wednesday nights in the last 2 months. I can say that God is changing lives. I can say we've anointed people for ministry in the last 2 months. Like, God is at work on Wednesday nights, and it's because we're coming to him. We're hungry for him, and he's showing up. It's not me. I'll tell you, like, the things I prepared for today, I'm not even really touching. When I come to a Wednesday night, I may just have a verse. And even lately, I don't have anything. I'm just like, here we are, God. Come do what you want. Come do what you want. And it's been a progression. When I started Wednesdays in 2017, Pastor Ryan's like, hey, you want to do Wednesday? I'm like, all right. Hey, you want to do Wednesdays? I'm like, all right. But I preached and I struggled, and it was a little rough, but all that homework I did was like my seminary. I did so much homework. I remember I would come with like 30 pages of notes, and like I would just get to like the page one. I'm like, oh, I did all that. But all that striving, all that struggling to learn about things about God, it has really helped shape me. And so as we started to do that, I took it the format how it was. We had our prayer, you know, our worship, our teaching and praise, And then I felt like God was wanting to start changing that around. And I remember we did a worship night where I was like, I feel like we're supposed to do worship. And God is showing up. And God is showing up. And so I did a couple more, and like, God is really showing up. And those times that we were doing that, I had so little planned that it had to have been God. And people would say, oh, that was a great service. And I can wholeheartedly say, yes, it was, and not be prideful, because it was not me. It was the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit. So as pastor of spiritual growth, a huge amount of my focus is Wednesday night, because that's, I don't want to say playground, but that's where we can come. That's where we can come, dwell, and sit in his presence. You know, when Jesus died and rose, the veil was torn in the temple, in the inner court, that we can go into the presence of God, that we can go before his mercy seat. That in Peter it says that he's made us a kingdom of priests. We're not just churchgoers. We're not just, even if it sounds weird to say this, we're not just Christians. Like, we are little Christs. Don't you take that? We are little Christ. And he has made us a kingdom of priests. And people's lives are being changed that come on Wednesdays. And not just on Wednesday, it's going out, you know. It's stirring up a hunger, it's stirring up the fire. And that is one of my number one focuses, is to just do that. It's to just come and pray and to worship and seek the Lord and let him take over. Another thing is, okay, well, there's no doctrine. We don't have any people saying, well, brother, why are we doing this on Wednesday nights? There's no doctrinal squabble, because you can't argue with God. He's doing what he wants to do. So, you know, there's no doctrinal squabbles. But one thing I do want to do, and this is a little bit future looking, but is have opportunities to teach why we're believing that. And that'll come down the road. But so those are, you know, why pastor spiritual growth? That's why. Because I know God has stirring me to press in to the great things he has. And it's no coincidence it's the year of the supernatural. It's no coincidence that's happening now. And last thing, this might throw you for a loop, but is it okay to be comfortable? Yeah, I see. So, there's a time where it's okay to be comfortable if it's in line with God's word. We don't want to be stuck in comfort zones. You know, if I'm comfortable in my circumstances and the things I possess or the things I control, that's not what God wants for us. But he wants us to be comfortable in who we are in him. And so by me saying that I'm a pastor of spiritual growth, I can say that I know it's from God. And I'm comfortable, even though that's like a huge, like, that is huge. Like, it's almost mind-boggling, like, to think about that. But I'm just going to just press forward. And we ought to press forward in pursuing him. In pursuing him. So I didn't even touch my notes. Yeah, there we go. So, you know, what now? What now? I believe, and my pursuit is that a revival and awakening of the saints is coming up right now. Because the status quo, even what we've learned up to this point, is not good enough. Yesterday's manna is not good enough. Right. You know, and there's, if the enemy's at work doing the supernatural, well, wake up, church. It's our turn to walk in what God said. It's our turn to walk in what God said. And, you know, he is going to use some of you to heal people. He's going to use some of you to raise the dead. Thank you, Sandy. He is going to use us for words of wisdom, for words of knowledge, for speaking in tongues, for the working of miracles. That is coming. And if there's anything in the way of your pursuit of him, I invite you to put it on the altar right now. You know, if you are maybe hearing this and you're like, wow, that sounds all great, but I don't really know what you're talking about. And you want to know, you want to pursue God. You want to renew your pursuit of the Lord, or you want to begin a pursuit of the Lord. Either one. You know, just everybody close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I just want you to walk up into the temple right now, past the outer courts. I want you to walk in past the inner courts, into the Holy of Holies right now. The priests first had to offer for their own sins. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just come before you right now. We come before you right now. God, we want your way. We want your way. We want to be educated and knowledge and empowered by your word and your presence and your spirit, God. We don't just want book smarts. We want to actually walk it out, God. And we can say, I want to do this, and I want to do that, but we just want to come before you. We want you to speak it into our hearts, God. Speak it into our hearts, God. In Jesus' name, God, come and wash us. Wash us by your word. Wash us by your spirit, by your blood, Father. In Jesus' name.